All right, welcome everybody. This is the Diversity in Information Security panel. I am going to be shuffled off to the right a little bit.
I'm very wide.
Okay. We're going to clear the air before we actually turn it over to the panel real quick about a lot of different things about this panel. There's obviously a lot of strife to get something like this in. Should it be here? Does it need to be here? Why is it here? There's no problem. There is a problem. There's a big problem. You're not going to solve it today. So all these kind of wild things of why we shouldn't do this. And the simple answer that I have to all that is we should do it because we should do it. Just get it out of the way and just do it. You know, I don't have to explain why we should do it. You all are here because you get that we should have done it. And your presence here says that that was the right decision, that we wanted to do something like this. It is a lot of warnings. And I know this sounds cheesy and everything, but for a simple matter of appeasement, we'll use the trigger words, yada, yada, yada. If you're familiar with this, with what this panel might actually not be for you. This is for people that are not really in that scene that already get it. This is for people that are just curious, like, I don't see a problem, but people keep on saying there's a problem. Can somebody just be frank with me? I get yelled at a lot, or I get told there's nothing wrong. So in here, there's no witch hunt. We're not here to lambast you. We have these microphones. You can ask something incredibly weird and stupid and strange, whether it's women in technology or minorities or anything. And please, I know the audience, maybe you'll cringe. You're like, oh, why did you say that? Really, we did a very small, intimate 35-person group last year in this format. It worked so, so, so well that people are like, I know you're going to judge me for the rest of my life, but I just have to ask this one thing. This is that safe place to ask that one thing. Yeah, maybe somebody in the audience that doesn't like this at all is just instantly going to be Twittering, and we should all find out who he is and attack him or her. And that's their prerogative to do that. But in this room right now, do it, and we're not going to judge you for it, okay? So,
okay,
we...
I'm so sorry, we won't. He might. If you're going to be, and I'm going to use a bad word here, so trigger. If you're going to be a dick, expect to be treated like a dick. All right? I mean, come on. We're taking the time to stand here and answer your questions honestly. If you want to have a witch hunt and be PC, go somewhere else, because this is for the people who want to actually know what's going on. At my work, I do work for a .gov. Every 2 years, I have to go through mandatory sexual harassment training. I don't need a mic. I can only see the background. So please, ask the questions. We're happy to answer. But at the same time, the priest just said that he said to be a dick. Well, no, because you're being a dick. Don't be a dick. That's all. Sorry.
If you're not on a mic, you're not on DC TV.
Good.
Less people for evidence. And all of you in your rooms playing along from home, we're trying to be just open and honest. We want you to have the same courtesy there. Other things to bring up, this is a very, very widely diverse panel, and we're going to start with the not-so-obvious ones and then move to the obvious ones. The not-so-obvious ones is we have people here that work at Fortune 500 companies and premier companies and wonderful, very, very well-respected educational institutes and startups and everything like that. And a lot of them are well-known people in the scene, having done a lot of reverse engineering, a lot of research. These are the doers of your industry. And along with the doers, these are the up-and-coming people that are quickly becoming doers, and we're seeing that. So you have a very diverse from people that are just getting into CS, computer science, to people that have been in it for a long time and are just crushing it and providing a lot of content for you guys to consume. So,
I need to leave.
What? Who, me?
I need to leave because I'm none of those things.
Well, you're at the beginner side, so that's okay.
Do you have imposter syndrome?
Do you have imposter syndrome?
All these accolades, and I'm like, well, I work for the Gov, and I'm now a section chief, so I'm not innovative or anything else.
So that's the not so obvious thing just by looking at them, that all of these people, you know, they're very active in the InfoSec scene. All of them are very active at DEF CON. All of them have been here at least 2 years. Some have been here since the very first one. So you're really getting a wide range of people that understand InfoSec, understand the culture of InfoSec, and also understand DEF CON itself and the good, the bad, and the ugly that's come and gone throughout the years. With that said, we'll talk about the more obvious things. There are gay people on this panel. There are black people. There are transgender people. There are minorities on this panel. We'll get to that.
I'm handicapped.
He is handicapped, handicapable, so that counts.
Thank you. I feel better.
There are just very young people. There are much older people. So you're covering everything: ageism, sexism, womenism. Fear of gays, fear of transgender, all that. It's all here, and they're all sacrificing their pride to take these questions and talk about very sensitive things. So please be cognizant of that. So with that, one of the obvious things that people love to tweet, all the rabble-rousers out there and the misandry people, they're like, well, let me get this straight. You have an entitled white guy as your moderator of the diversity panel. Yeah. Well, it is, I'm from California. As of this year, I'm a minority in California, so... but that's just a small joke, folks. In actuality, you need to see me as the moderator, as your API. You are all the people that you're supposed to be able to say, like, hey, I get it. I'm trying to translate this. You know, I know what it is to be a white guy. I know what it is to be married to a minority, to be to have a daughter that all she wants to do is play with Legos and stuff like that. So I'm seeing it from a perspective that other people say, well, I'm white and I don't see the problem. And so, you know, I'm always seen as that guy, but I have seen quite a bit of it over the years, and so I'm trying to be an API to that. Priest is very factual and succinct and to the point about things. He doesn't cut corners. When it comes to this, he wrote a very, very great response on Bruce Schneider's blog about the accusations of harassment at DEF CON and how we handle those things. He is on the forefront of making sure that DEF CON is a safe place to be, whether it's you've drinking too much and you need help, or you're being harassed or touched in an inappropriate way and you need help. So he is the go-to guy. So yes, he's not a minority in the traditional sense, but he is here as a representative. All right. So yes, we can get that stuff out of the way. Like, this doesn't look like what I thought it was going to be. This is what we're setting up here for you, just to understand.
Just so you understand, I speak Mandarin and Japanese. I have been on public transportation where you wouldn't believe the crap that you hear about white people in those languages until they realize you speak their languages. And then it's an incredible shock to them. And I do want to reiterate at the beginning here, we have a zero tolerance for that type of activity. It is not allowed, period, full stop. You should feel safe and free to approach anyone with a red badge or a red shirt at any time. If you feel you do not get the appropriate level of response, or the response was inappropriate, find me. I am here from 8 in the morning until 3 or 4 in the morning, every day of con. It will not be tolerated. It is not allowed. We are sensitive to this fact. One of my personal pet peeves, that I do a lot of what's called STEM outreach. There are not enough, and I'm going to ask, I'm going to be blunt, women and minorities in the STEM, science, technology, engineering, mathematics. And it is so frustrating to me to walk into a classroom where, oh, you're so pretty, you're so pretty. Don't be smart, you're so pretty. And to have that girl ask a question and just light up because someone said she's smart. How do you deal with that?
All right, I'm going to pass it over to you guys real quick, but just one quick plug. This panel was organized and put together by Vegas 2.0. We're the ones that ran the EFF fundraiser party last night. We are part of NCWIT, that's the National Center for Women and Information Technology. It's the largest organization pushing for women in information technology in the United States. We're the only information security group representing there. So we feel it's our responsibility as stewards of the information security community for you to give us feedback so we can give feedback to them. They're very focused in education. They're very focused in Fortune 500. They have soft spots in these affinity things like information security. And so it's our job, we feel, to hear from you, hear responses, even if we don't agree with them, to pass them straight through to them and say, you know, this is something that people bring as our concerns or ways to improve or how things have been successful. So keep that in mind afterwards. You can come find us, and we'd be more than happy to facilitate that. And Emily, you wanted to add something to that?
Yes. NC WIT, NC WIT actually was, I spoke at their summit a year ago, and that's how I met Jenny and Robert. I also wanted to mention that NC WIT does have a high school competition for girls, 9th grade through 12th. It is a scholarship opportunity and an award. So if the girls win the state level, they go to the state and they have like an award ceremony. They get an awesome trophy. They get cash prizes. They get wonderful things. They get scholarships for college. NCWIT.org, NCWIT.org to go look at their scholarships.
Great. Okay, so now we'll go ahead and kick it off. And I want to start with Mouse, if you can, actually, we should do introductions of who's who first, and then after that, I'd like you to kick off the panel. So, Scott, we'll start with you.
And what information?
Your name and either your industry or where you work, if you're comfortable to say.
Yeah. So, my name's Scott. I'm a gay man who's been working in information. I've been working in the industry for almost 20 years now in information technology and IT. Working for multinational companies, the Fortune 500 that Hackajar was talking to earlier, as well as now working for startup industries. So it's really interesting to see what we've had happen in those industries. I'm here to represent that.
My name is Little Jenny, and I am halfway through schooling for informatics, and I'm going to try to combine all the big data initiatives that are going on and also try to layer in information security to that. So it's kind of interesting to layer that in, but I am also Mexican, and I am also a female. Yes.
I'm Sandy Clark. I'm known as Mouse. I'm an adult who went back to get a PhD, so I'm at the University of Pennsylvania. My area of research is the security ecosystem. So we'll talk more about that later.
Hi, I'm Jolly. Let's see, I'm technically homeless, although people will say that doesn't count.
Yeah.
This is going to shock you, but I have a turban. I know. I just thought it was a built-in pillow. I left my magic carpet at home. Other fun things, I've got a slight addiction to conferences. And when I mean slight, I mean 2012, I went to 26. I've probably done more this year. And also dancing and CTFs.
And a lot of walks to the beach.
Yes, long walks in the beach.
Pina coladas.
No. Well, not pina coladas.
Hi, I'm Emily. I'm working more or less as a college student while trying to build a company that focuses on educational technology for K through 12. I build after school programs based on technology, and I'm working just to increase better, more open source educational resources.
Lou. My name is Virus. I'm probably the most offensive person who's going to grab a microphone today.
Yeah.
This is my 12th DEF CON. I am part of a group called DC949. We invented Open Capture the Flag a while ago. Now it's been passed off to another group who's doing a crazy job. I've played CTF a couple times. I work at a security firm called NeoHapsis. We break shit. I've previously worked at other places that also break shit. That's all I got. Because hackers are now a minority at DEF CON.
Yeah. Hi. I'm Kristen. I am a hacker, first and foremost. I've been presenting at DEF CON for many years now. This is the first time I've actually gotten up on stage since I underwent a gender transition about 3 years ago. So this is slightly bizarre for me. So I hack all kinds of things. I've kind of toured Silicon Valley, I guess it's fair to say, from internet companies to cell phone companies to car companies currently. And
are you the
one to
set the car on fire?
Say what? We try not to.
Yes.
So yeah, hi.
All right.
Hi. I'm going to stand up because otherwise you can't see me. No, when I'm at a podium, you can't see me over my computer. I'm going to tell you how I got here. Okay? This is an origin story. I grew up in a very conservative religion, and I had a very well-defined gender role, and my entire future was planned for me. And I went to my church's university as a pre-med student, and I had spent my entire childhood doctoring up every kid in the village. I imagined myself in a lab coat. I was going to do research, and I was going to cure cancer. And my first semester at this university, my advisor called me in and said, "You shouldn't be in the pre-med program. You're a girl." So because you were raised to be obedient to authority, I dropped out of the program and spent the next like 3 or 4 years trying to figure out what the hell I was. I took a computer science class because all my friends were doing it, and I'm competitive enough that I didn't want them to know something I didn't know. But it still took me another, 10, 15 years to break the chains that were around my brain. When your firmware is flashed with something, you don't question it for a long time until somebody glitches it, and then you might start to question. So when I broke free, and it took a couple of years to believe that I wouldn't be punished for trying, I came to my first DEF CON, and it was DEF CON 10, and I was scared shitless. I didn't know a soul. I didn't know how to do anything. I was terrified that they would know that I didn't know, but I thought this was the community I wanted to be a part of. So I walked in, and you guys found me. I don't know how you what you did, but suddenly I found the family I had never known I had. Things, this place, if you make it so, if you get over the fear of, because it's a bit harder for you than it was for me because it was much smaller then, you will find that this is the safest environment you will ever be in to be who you really are. We are not easy people to get around to be around, because we won't do things for you. We expect that you are going to try something and you are going to fail at it a lot. And I'll get back to that in just a second. And we will help you, but we won't do it for you. But whatever you are, whatever is inside of you, we will accept that, because the people who don't are not the people you respect and want the respect of anyway. So my advice to you as newbies is the advice that the things that I've learned from these guys, the things that my PhD advisor is constantly telling me, I want you to fail well, and I want you to fail often. And I want you to get up and try again. I've built a couple of 3D printers, and this last one I built kicked my ass. And I spent an entire year taking it apart down to the screws and putting it back together again because I couldn't get a decent print. And because of who I am, I thought, what the fuck is wrong with me? I can't do this right. And whenever something works, the first thing you do is doubt yourself, right? Because everybody else is smart and they didn't know how to do it. Turns out that on one of the forums, after an entire year, this was a full year, someone said, you know, my nozzle was the wrong size. I printed something out, I measured it with calipers, and it was just a little bit too big. So I measured mine with calipers. My nozzle, which I thought was 0.5 millimeters, was 0.7 millimeters. One software change fixed all the problems. So what I mean by fail well and fail often is that it's going to happen because you don't know how to do shit. But you don't give up. You don't doubt yourself, and you don't stop trying. The answers will be there. And these people have a lot of the information that. And so once you've tried, and then you ask, and everybody will help you. That's what this community is for. Anyway, I'm done for a bit. I'm going to pass the microphone to someone else.
Okay, yeah. So thank you very much for sharing that. Okay. So we have about 25 minutes left, so thank you very much. And this is something we specifically wanted to make sure Miles got out there. Well, we talked about it in the pre-meeting that we felt that she had the best representation on how all we feel about how we think of DEF CON and the people and the friends that we make here and that continue on throughout this industry. And hopefully that these are good stewards to either bring people here or just take this good attitude to wherever they go.
Yeah, and so, if I can add one thing, her story is not unique. All of us on this panel felt the same way. This is really our new family.
Yes, absolutely. So I wanted to do something, kind of shake up the room a little bit, get your arms going. So first, let's get everybody's hands in the air and just kind of shake like this. Get your energy going. There you go. Love it. Perfect. All right. So now it's like a TED Talk, right? So so the next thing I wanted to do is, if you do not have a college degree, just please put your hand up in the air. If you do not have a college degree. Okay, now, so you are technically a minority in this room. Now think about this for me. Keep your hands up. Everybody keep your hands up. If you were qualified for the job, if they told you that you're exactly who they were looking for and this is what we need you to do, and you still didn't get the job because you didn't have a degree, keep your hand up. Otherwise, put your hand down. Ever. If you've ever not had a degree and you knew exactly what you were doing, and they simply said, you're 100% qualified and we definitely want you to have this job, it's too bad you don't have a degree, if that's ever happened to you. Look at this room right here. How did you feel about that? How did you feel when they told you you're 100% qualified? That's...
They weren't qualified to interview me.
That was, there you go, there you go. For you people, how you felt there, you have to think, other people that, it's very easy for us to say, it's never happened to me, or it hasn't happened around me, I don't know if this is a real thing. That was a real experience for you, and how you felt then is how other people feel when it's, you know, you're a girl, you're not supposed to be here, you know, or you don't fit what I think Americans should look like, I'm nervous for hiring you or something like that, or I'm homophobic and stuff like that, and it's still prevalent everywhere. That's how they felt when you're like, but everything, I did everything right to be here, and you said I did everything right except for this degree. Now imagine you couldn't fix it by just getting a degree. They can't just get a guy, be a guy, be a, not a minority, be not black, you know. It's this, you know, yeah, I don't know how to articulate that, but I think you get what I'm saying here with that example. So I wanted to open up to the panel at this point and say, do you have any good success stories where something negative happened, but then you found a way to turn it around positively? We'll start with little Jenny.
So I used to be in office administration. I didn't have a degree, and I kind of fell into that right after retail and restaurant work. And I excelled in it. I immediately, within just a couple of years, worked my way up to executive administrative levels and office manager levels. And I hit a point in the career where I wasn't making enough and I wasn't getting the respect enough, so I put my resume out there and I got a call back. And they're like, you're amazing, you're wonderful, like I know your previous job and who you worked for, and the fact that you survived more than a month in that place, it just blew my mind. And I'm not even joking, they went through 26 administrative assistants within 1 year before they hired me, and I lasted 3 years there. So that in itself, we're like, we need you in our office. And I said, okay, well, what can you offer me? So they gave me a figure, and I said, in the very typical, like what they always tell us, and girls don't do enough, is you're supposed to counter that. And I countered it, and I said, well, I would like a little more. And she said, well, I'm not going to do that. And I said, why not? And she said, well, I'm not going to do that because there are people with degrees willing to do it for less. And that was a big just like choke back for me. And I had to swallow that pill. And I said, okay, well, let me think about that for a night. And thankfully, I was in a wonderful situation where I had a husband who sat with me that night. And we stayed up until about 3 a.m. just going back and forth. And I had to get out of the office I was at because I wasn't getting the respect. And I knew this was a great move. But just those words just kept ringing in my head. And we looked at our finances over and over and over again. And he said, go back to school. What do you want to do? And that was also an interesting point where I kind of looked and I'm like, I love computers. I like computers. I grew up in the Silicon Valley. But I also just don't really want to commit to that. And he's like, well, what do you like? And I said, I like society, and I like working with people, and I like the intricacy. And I mean, if I can go to get a career in anything, it was kind of like psychology, but there's no career in that. And I don't really want to help people and fix emotions, because you can't do that. So he just just looked at me, and it was like that light bulb went off, and I'll never forget that moment in his face, because it never clicked until that moment, where he's like, informatics, where you're using the sociology of people and society, and then you're using information to really combine that. And it's a big thing, and it's like going places now, and everyone's heard over and over, yeah, of big data. And then as we go more and more into this, and now we're getting into the 1-2 o'clock hour, and it's like he's telling me, because he's in information security, about all the like loopholes and issues, and I'm like, well, why isn't anyone layering this together? And we both looked at each other, and that light bulb went off. And so I started looking into the local colleges and started building that degree, and I actually found a local college that worked with information security and informatics. And they had them both. And so I started a career path of my own in that. And so that's what I'm working in. And then that was about the time when he brought me into DEF CON. And it just blew my mind how incredibly open and welcome everyone was to me. But, you know, interesting anecdote was one of the first conferences I went to. And it wasn't DEF CON, but it was very close to that. And I remember sitting outside, and there was like a smoking section, and I ran into a girl. And she was like, oh, well, what do you do? And I said, I'm in information management, or office management, sorry. And she was like, oh, like Microsoft? And I said, no, like people. And she turned around and she walked away. And it was very shocking. And it wasn't, and she was a girl too. That was, I think, the more of the like, if it was a guy, I think I would have passed it off, but it was a girl. And later on, it was, you know, until DEF CON, where I ran into the same person again. And we got into that exact same conversation, and she was like, what do you do? And I kind of hesitated, and I'm like, well, I'm here as someone's girlfriend. And she was like, no, just no, you are not just someone's girlfriend. And nothing stung me more. And so this person I hated for an entire year, and I resented her, became one of the biggest mentors in my life, and that was here at DEF CON. So that was turning a very negative into a positive.
What do you guys want to say about like how things are like the boilerplate? And this is more directed towards Virus here. And the reason it'll be very clear once you hear what question, Mr. Virus. Twitter is just like this hyperbole of just complete and utter nonsense, especially when it comes to misandry and misogyny accusations. What do you think? So the loaded question is, because you're very active on these conversations, what do you think we can do better? Or is it just something we have to turn off? Or just start rambling on about your thoughts on the situation in its current form?
Well, I can tell you, I solve it by just hitting the fucking unfollow button when I don't want to watch what somebody else is saying. I don't know, My intro to the community maybe was a little different and a little more hostile than most. When I came to DEF CON, I mean, there's a lot of talk right now about DEF CON being this big, you know, openly inclusive place, and we all just want to learn from each other and make the world happier. And yeah, when I came to DEF CON, it was a den of fucking thieves. It was very much like an electronic gun conference. It was a lot of people who really liked, you know, tech that scared a lot of other people because it gave them power. And that scares people. So, you know, Our history is that we, you know, took our blinky boxes called Altair, and we wanted to be real engineers, and they said no. So, okay, we went and built our own party with blackjack and hookers and called it DEF CON because those people. So now those people want to come here. They want to come to our space. They want to look at our tricks. They want to buy our bugs and then pretend like we did it to teach them. It's like, look, if you have a badge and you're here today and you don't hack stuff and you're just really here to kind of observe it, that's great. I hope you have a great time. I hope nobody messes with you. But understand, you are a fucking tourist. Yeah. All right? Yeah. We built this place to be safe for us. Not radically inclusive. Ours. And ours means that the thing that matters most when you're here is not what you look like, not what you smell like, not whether or not you have 3 dicks or 2 arms, but what you do, what's in your head. Right? If I hand you a problem and I don't help you solve it, what do you do with it? This is a bunch of people that have unique approaches to that question. And nothing else matters. And your social contingent is just as much as anybody else. I am just as free to use all the racial slurs I want, just as you are to use the racial slurs that I want. And if I want your bugs, I should probably be nice to you. And if you want my bugs, you should probably be nice to me. But you don't have to do shit. And I think it's important that we keep that mantra, because as soon as we become the PC police and we start, you know, backing up for things other than our hacks, we don't have our hacks anymore.
Well said. Thanks. Very good. Thank you. We're going to start doing some Q&A, so if you want to start lining up over here to ask some questions, this will be your live mic to do that.
I just want to add that there were no officially death cut provided hookers.
That you know of.
I know all.
And while
by this man right here,
pool to while girl for, is not official.
While we wait for the people to come up to the mic to ask some questions, Kristen, maybe you can speak about, since you've spoken so many times for such a long period, if you've seen any changes, if any, in the Black Hat Def Con, ShmooCon, TorCon. Those are kind of our big cons here.
So the biggest thing that I've seen change over the years is myself. A few years ago when I was coming to DEF CON, I was living a lie, essentially. I knew I was female, I was identifying as female, and still kind of forced to live this male persona, and therefore I was the one not letting me fit in at DEF CON. I could come and I could present research, and I never felt a part of it because it was me not letting myself be a part of it. So I come back here this year, and these kind people are, you know, awesome enough to invite me on the panel, and so, you know, I come and we do stuff, and it feels like a family reunion.
Yes.
Yeah. DEF CON is a giant hacker family reunion. I feel at home in this place nowhere else on earth. You have no idea. And it's been an odd realization for me that, like, the clothes and the hair and the lifestyle changes that I've made, that's what makes me feel safe out in the real world. What makes me feel safe in DEF CON is this. That's all. It's the fact that people here know that I hack things, and I solve problems, and I build technologies, and that's the only thing that matters. This is, it's such a welcoming place if you let it. But you gotta let it.
Thank
Be
you.
Yourself.
You know? Assholes.
Okay, we'll take the first.
People are going to hate you for something no matter who you are, so why not be hated for who you are instead of who you're not?
Yeah.
Mic drop, very nice. Okay, we'll take the first question.
So I feel that. When I came to DEF CON as opposed to Black Hat, where I was a few days ago, these are my people. This is where I feel happy. I myself have also changed gender in the last couple of years while working in this industry. And one of the things that I've noticed is we're very tolerant of difference and of diversity, but at the same time we have these ingrained prejudices. So in my case, people don't care that I'm trans, but they see me as a woman and I get less credibility. I have to prove myself. So I do, and I smack them down. And they crawl away, and that's good.
But see you as Australian.
No, no, you're wrong.
Kiwi.
Take two.
Give me a hit. Zealand?
Yeah, I'm a Kiwi. Yeah.
Kiwi.
I'm yeah. Kiwi.
The southern part, it's the northern part of Australia.
So. Yeah. It's okay, I can't tell you Canadians apart either.
May I respond? The thing is that this isn't just DEF CON. We get that kind of thing. I have a very recent example dealing with US Congress people where they would not listen to a female voice. And everything had to be repeated by a male voice before they would listen. So this is not exclusive to DEF CON. And this is a problem that right now the only solution I can think of is to do some awesome hack and rub their fucking noses in it. But at least here, for a lot of its history, about 30% of the speakers, the people presenting the cool stuff, have been female. While it may not be the attendees and there's still no line at the women's bathrooms, which is my metric.
There's a line in the men's room.
Yeah.
We were all very confused.
Some things here are better than they are in the real world. But there is still the sexism and fuck them. I don't know how to solve that.
So to append on that really quickly, we do a survey where we check all the conferences, and all of them generally stay between 6% and 12% women representation on the speaker tracks, except for DEF CON. DEF CON traditionally has floated between 28% and 38%. the uptake of women in information security is about 16%, 16, 17%. So we're actually double the actual industry as far as our speaker representation is concerned. Of course, everybody can quickly look and say, you know, there's 51% of women on Earth, so shouldn't there be, you know, equal representation? And that's true, and that's a path we'd like to get to. But just to point out, we're over more than pacing at DEF CON. And through, if you know our CTF process, you know that it just naturally bubbles up that way. And I'll let Priest add on to that.
I have to take issue with what you just said.
Yeah.
I don't want 51% women here. I don't care if you're transgender, a woman, a man. I'm looking for a good peace of mind. And if you are asexual, trisexual, or a neuter, I don't care. It's not important to me. If you are a brilliant mind, that's what I want to see here. I don't want to see 14% Vietnamese and 30% Caucasian and 50% women. I don't want mines in the bathroom because that was really confusing for me. I have a very small brain. But I want smart people here. And get over yourselves. No disrespect, but get over yourself. The only way I could be more handsome is if I shaved my rear end and walked on my hands. Okay? Everywhere I go with my shaved head, it's a hate crime. Hands down, because I'm a big, ugly white guy. Who cares? Don't be a dick. Don't put hands on people you shouldn't put hands on. And going back to your original point, as Myra said, the original community was a very small, tight-knit community. I've been here since DEF CON 5, so it's been 17 years. I've watched the kids who came to 5 are now here just starting with their grandkids. Our demographic has expanded from that into a much more diverse, homogenized, corporatized, marketized community. And we're seeing that bleed over into this. Just in listening to what you said, the fact that you took my crap about New Zealand, and by the way, the All Blacks, I used to play rugby, the All Blacks are my team. And the scariest thing I ever saw was when we played University of Hawaii and they did the haka. Uh-huh. I swear I thought they were going to eat us. I'm glad you did that. It was cool. It was great because I could do that. And I'm comfortable doing that. Whereas in corporate land, I'd be in front of the PC police. Again, who cares? Let it go. I'm not an ugly white guy who's an asshole. I'm me. Don't carry it with you.
So one of the things that I took away from my experiences with NCWIT is that there's this thing called unconscious bias. And you're not aware of what you're doing. And so because there's so many white men in the information security, everybody, it doesn't matter what race or culture you are or sex, you start to build an expectation of who fits that model. And so I am 100% not for affirmative action. I don't think there needs to be percentages or quotas. But as individuals, you need to kind of break that mold and not expect a white man to be the hacker. It's an interesting, like, people aren't aware. So if you're thinking like, oh yeah, that's not an issue. No, you are that issue. You actually have to stop and like, no, I have been guilty. I've been guilty of that. So it is interesting. I think it doesn't matter your sex or your skin, but we are guilty that I think by fixing those numbers just a little bit, it's not about 50-50. It's not about meeting a certain quota, but understanding that there is no quota.
It's about opportunities is what it is. It's about providing the opportunity for someone who is interested regardless of age or whatever, characteristic that they feel comfortable. You've seen the Always commercial recently, right? The Thrill Like a Girl commercial? If you haven't seen it, it's a very interesting example of unconscious bias because they asked a bunch of small girls, like under sevens, what it means to run like a girl, what it means to throw like a girl. And so the girls race across the room and they throw the ball as far as they can. And then they ask adults, what does it mean to throw like a girl? What does it mean to run like a girl? And you get the classic stereotype. And then they show the adults what the kids said. So there's and the adults realize that there was this bias that they didn't realize that they had, that sometime between the age of 7 and wherever they were, they had transitioned from a girl can do anything to a girl has to do it like this.
All right.
And I think that's not just related to females. I think this is related to any unconscious bias.
Great. All right, we're going to take our next question.
A question for the females in the audience, everyone. First, I forget your name at the end.
Kristen.
So this is your first DEF CON speaking as a female. Does that mean you're going to take a shot?
That means someone has to go get that.
Get two.
Two.
I guess you're buying.
Eight.
Meet me out there.
Doesn't sound like I can say no to that.
And what's your next question?
So,
well, that depends. Technically, I'm 3.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew it.
I might get out of this.
And what's your extra?
So, same question for the female, for all the females in the audience. I've interviewed females on occasion, talked to females on occasion, and asked them questions like about women in the workplace and how I can contribute my own way to make it more comfortable, easier for it. But I get responses as far as when I ask them what it's like working with women, that they prefer working with men. You know, the typical girls are crazy, I don't like working with them. So how am I supposed to help if they don't even want to work with each other?
That is a very good question. We have the same biases.
I have an anecdotal observation on that because it's something that's interesting to me as well. If you'll notice, men, boys, are cultured from an early age to work in teams. We work in teams. We play football, we play baseball, we play basketball. And I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not making money off people's emotions.
I can give you the research.
Okay. Girls play individual sports. They swim. They play tennis. They are taught from a very early... Here we are.
Kickboxing.
From an early age, you're taught to compete with your peers.
I play defensive tackle.
I play female rugby players, believe me, they can kick men's ass any day of the week. But if you think about it, that's the general role that you're put in. Don't play in the dirt, play with dolls.
Let me give you some of the other examples of this. So there's been some interesting research on educators where they ask teachers if they treat their girl pupils any differently than they treat their boy pupils. And this is not just US, this has also been done in Europe. And the standard response, of course, with the teachers is no, we treat all our students the same, until they are videoed. And then what they show is this. They show that when they ask a little girl a question and she gets the answer wrong, the teacher will say, oh, no, Susie, that's the wrong answer. And then they're very nice and kind about it, like teachers are. But when they ask a boy a question and he gets it wrong, they then work with him to get the next answer. No, Johnny, that was wrong, but could you think about it like this? Or so on. Anyway, they coax the answer out of it. So girls learn very young that failure is fatal. You get one chance, and if you try again, you don't get another chance. And boys learn to work through things. So girls try and make things perfect. I went to a conference very recently that was specifically for minorities in security, an academic conference, and it was 99% female. And the idea was to get a group of young security researchers to in a conference where they could see people doing interesting work, not talk about gender in security, but talk about research that was being done by people regardless of gender. And they made every single person there were 50 of us, talk for 2 minutes about our own research specialty. And every woman spoke passionately, intelligently, fascinatingly about their about whatever it was they were doing. And I thought they were so cool. And then they sat in the audience for the next 3 days and said nothing. 5 of us had this interactive conference, and we were eating at communal meals, and so I would go move from table to table and to talk to people, and I'd ask them, you know, you're doing such and such, this person who was speaking is doing such and such, why didn't you talk to them? I was afraid to make a mistake. I was afraid to say something. It's inculcated from the cradle, because the consequences of failure are so much harsher. And that's one thing that male mentors can do, is to give the females, your female protégés, a safety net so that if they make a mistake, you don't fire them. If they make a mistake, it's okay.
But why don't women want to work for other women?
Can I respond real quick?
Yeah, really quick.
I have a very quick answer directly to your question. If someone says, I don't like working with women because they're crazy, whether it's a man saying it or whether it's a woman saying it, they're being a dick.
So, further to that, I notice in the workplace a lot of people are often being dicks. And sometimes the people they're deriding are present, sometimes they aren't. What responses would you like to see when people are being dicks, when derisive comments are made?
Don't be a dick. What
and if
you can't
we
really
have,
say that in a job interview, though, right?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I have.
Oh, I've done that.
Personally, I don't always have priest's courage to speak up when I see people being a dick. Can you offer any advice to the people in the room about how to step forward, or do you think that's something they should that we should be doing when we see these comments being made?
My immediate thought is you have to really think really hard about that individual that you're interviewing with and really ask yourself, if they're asking questions that are very dickish in nature, do you want to work for them?
And those questions are illegal. There is no employer who is legally able to ask questions about your marriage, about your sexuality, about your home life, or anything that you do in your personal life. What you report on your resume is what they're supposed to go off of.
Just to clarify, okay. This wasn't about interviews. This was like workplace interactions.
So in the regular workplace, okay. I found that it's been very important to really excel at what you're doing and really show off your skills, regardless of whether you're, you know, black, white, female, male, it doesn't matter. Make sure that the people that you work for know that what you do is why you're there and that do it well.
I'm sorry, yes.
And just to add to that, one school of thought, and it's going to be tough for a lot of individuals to follow along, and that's why this is the famous quote, you know, if you know the when they came for the Jews and I said nothing, and then it goes on and on and on. That's a powerful quote because, you know, you as an individual, you're like, hey, I don't know what I'm comfortable saying. I don't know if I'm comfortable not saying. And at the same time, you're not, by not saying it, it's sometimes worse. And you're right, that means I have to look inside myself and say, I have to do something I'm not comfortable with to speak up. But not speaking up can have some dire results as well. So I'm not demanding that you do that, but it's just food for thought that if we don't speak up, we don't speak up.
It would be an interesting experiment. What if we do? What are the results? I mean, we ought to try it and just see what happens.
Okay. So, yeah, we're gonna take the next question because we're running really short on
just
time.
Just real quick, I think it is important that you don't have to have a big explanation. Just simply like, hey, dude, don't be a dick. And then you can move on. You don't have to say anything more than that. It is simple as being a friend to somebody and reminding them.
Great. Next question, please.
So I feel fairly privileged to like know you guys. And in general, my life as like a queer person is kind of weird and whatever. You know, I would have expected, given what I've been taught, to have had bad experiences in general. But no one here has ever given me a bad experience. Nowhere I've ever worked has ever really discriminated against me for being queer, weird, or a woman that's an engineer or whatever. And I feel like I don't want this to turn into like /r/ men's rights threats, but how do I say, like, actually, I've had positive experiences. I know other people haven't, and I respect that, but there's a lot of people out there who've been treating me very well, and that's awesome, and I want to give positive reinforcement to the people who've been doing that while simultaneously not telling people, like, no, like, there's no sexism in the world. I'm saying I don't tend to get it. I've been very privileged.
I've only had one negative comment the entire time I've been involved with InfoSec about me. No.
Are you sure?
Because
I can keep trying.
Last year, which I did appreciate. Oh, and my husband was like, you gotta get your... Never mind. Sorry. Anyway. No.
My girlfriend's watching on TV right now, so... Hopefully I'm not flirting with you too much.
Oh my God, I forgot this.
But just enough. Hopefully she's proud of me. She would be attracted to you. It's great.
Anyway,
it's okay.
I wanted to say that as generations like ours, we are coming into the new workforce. I experience less bias as days go by. And the generations like mine, I'm used to seeing people who are gay. I'm used to seeing transgender. I'm used to hanging out with other races. Yeah, I mean, this is my norm. My school was a majority minority, I suppose. And When I went to school, I went to Purdue for 2 years, and they have the second highest international rate, university standing, I think. And I think that we, as our younger generations come to power, will be able to deal with more diversity at and teach those who are older to deal with it as well, and to experience it and to work with it.
And Jolly, do you want to expand on that?
Sure. I'll say I often struggle with that same question because I've had that progress and change over my life because I remember me growing up, junior high, elementary, where I obviously stood out and I was definitely the different kid and I got teased a lot for it. And you know, if I look at my pre-college life, it wasn't fun. But if I look at me today and I look at my life, in a lot of ways, I think my diversity, well, yes, my life is fucking
really
awesome.
Good. But well, and you're jolly, but right, but it's also really good branding.
No, but yeah, but exactly, that's it. Like I say now I get massive benefits for being diverse because I'm the dude in a turban named Jolly, probably dancing at whatever party or winning some CTF or something, and now everyone remembers me. I get on so many work calls and I introduce myself and I go, I'm Jolly, and then they know who I am and I have no idea who they are and I feel really, really
Jolly,
bad.
Do you feel like you have to check your privilege in the sense of like, I know it's a stupid phrase, right? But like, I feel like the people I work with, I actually have a benefit because I have really nice tits and I'm weird looking. And that's kind of cool in this community, right?
Yeah.
No, I feel like there's actually some privilege to that in this community.
It's definitely true.
I feel like I should check my privilege.
Versus, I'll admit, I've got a lot of friends that are generic white guys.
No, I'll use the shit out of it. I'm not saying I won't, but at the same time, I'm going to acknowledge the privilege. I know we live in a microcosm, and that's okay. But, you know, it is a privilege.
I honestly don't... It's challenging because I don't often know how to react because I have substantial benefits because of who I am versus my white male friends with glasses wearing black t-shirts who try finding one of them in a crowd at DEF CON.
Quickly, I think we need more of these stories. It's not like, ha ha, shame on you, I got the upper edge, but we just need more positive stories. No shame, no... You know, double-edged sword. We just need to hear more of this. I hear so many negative stories, I'm done with it. And that is exactly why I pursued this panel. I think everyone needs to hear this.
Okay, we're going to move on to the next question if you got a quick comment.
Okay,
next question, and then we'll be wrapping up with some closing statements. Go ahead.
So, as I mentioned to Priest earlier in response to his, you know, girls swim competitively and boys play football, I played defensive tackle and offensive guard in a men's league. Not a women's league, not a co-ed league. I was the only woman in my league. I have spent my entire life invading male spaces, being told that I don't belong there, and taking the beatings that result in it, and just being like, fuck you, I'm still here. So my question is, how do we counter... having to have that attitude, because there are a lot of brilliant minds out there who don't necessarily have that attitude, who don't have that strength, and there are also a lot of organizations out there who are claiming to advocate for these folks and doing so in a really underhanded and backstabbing way. So how do we make this space open to those people who don't necessarily have that same temperament without kind of throwing them to the wolves of these various organizations claiming to advocate for them who will not?
I think the right answer in all the questions combined is mentorship. So especially in this intimate community where we are very inclusive and we are very intimate environment, like be a mentor, reach out to that new person in the scene and take them under your wing. Don't be afraid to say, yeah, it's only my second year at CON, but I'll be happy to show you around. And that's where we really get that change. Where you're no longer the only girl on the team, where you're no longer only fighting, because now there's two of you. Now you've proven your point.
Or the only newbie.
Exactly.
Has everyone here seen Mandela? Does everyone know this symbol for Mandela? Do you know where it comes from? There's Priest. There's Hackajar. There's Jolly. There's Mouse. There's Sandy. They can take us down individually, one by one. They can't take us all together. So band together, form together, and stand up for it. I'm not doing the get whiny. It's stand together. You, like I said, you were unique. I bet you were the only one who did that because everybody else was encouraged not to.
I.
So, So we're wrapping up and everything, and we need to make some quick closing statements. One, I'd like to thank our panel and everything for taking the time. I know we discussed, yeah. We initially talked about kind of going in a different direction, and these things have a way of just being animals and just kind of going wherever they want to go. So I hope everybody on stage has had a good opportunity to say a piece, and I hope I was able to get you guys through.
All your badges belong to us,
yeah. And so I thank you, everybody. And you guys see their faces here. One thing I want you to take away before you leave here right now is these are obviously people you can approach off this panel. Come talk to them. They want to talk to you.
Teach us.
It's a positive. It's a positive experience, and we want to keep it a positive experience moving forward, not just here today in this panel, but moving forward for the rest of Con. Finally, we want to mention that we did some numbers, tracking people coming in, kind of blew us away because Thursday came through. Not official DEF CON numbers, just looking at what the demographics are, and we do see that this year is the first year that there's noticeable chunks in the pie chart of different demographics. So that means this is a big year for you to actually, you know, seek out people that you obviously have something in common, information security. So why not talk to somebody that you're like, oh, I don't know, I've ever talked to that person before. Let's just go say hi, you know. And I know it's hard for people to just approach random strangers, but, you know, this should be a good place to do that.
DEF CON is that one environment where you can. Just grab me in the hall. I don't care. I will stop and talk with you for a half hour before I realize I was supposed to meet somebody somewhere.
Yes. Thanks.
All right.
And, yes.
And he wants a shot. Okay, well, thank you all very much, and I appreciate all your time. And we're mostly, a lot of us are hanging out in the contest area, so if you want to go over there, that's where we generally are. And Emily is
wanting to say one last thing. I would like to make one statement in closing, please.
Yes, please.
With current industry trends, by 2016, we are only going to have one half of our technical industry jobs filled. If we do not start increasing diversity rates, we will fall in our technical prowess. We need to start increasing diversity. Encourage people to come to DEF CON. Encourage people to tinker. Do not...
Find the foreign hackers that are squashed.
Yes, find the people who are broken. Find the people who are put down and help them become what we are. DEF CON is one of the... I haven't felt at home like this since I was at Gen Con, and this is like Gen Con, except with like alcohol and a lot of technology.
And if
it
you,
is fantastic.
And if you want to talk to me about not drinking in a world where it's full of alcohol,
yeah.
Come talk to me.
Yes. Yes.
Oh. And also, I'm also, if anyone wants to meet me for dinner, I'm going to the American Bar Grill thingy, and I'll be standing over there, so just join me, and then we can all go talk about stats on diversity rates, and I can answer any questions that were not answered today.
Perfect. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.